Gospel according to Luke. As we continue our exposition of Luke, we are in chapter 8. We'll be reading verses 1 through 21. We begin looking at the parable of the soils, the parable also called of the sower, one of the most well-known parables of the Lord Jesus Christ. Luke chapter 8, beginning in verse 1. And it came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village, preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And certain women, which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities, Mary called Magdalene, out of whom went 7 devils, and Joanna, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others, which ministered unto him of their substance. And when much people were gathered together and were come to him out of every city, he spake by a parable. A sower went out to sow his seed, and as he sowed, some fell by the wayside, and it was trodden down, and the fowls of the air devoured it. And some fell upon a rock, and as soon as it was sprung up, it withered away because it lacked moisture. And some fell among thorns, and the thorns sprang up with it and choked it. And other fell on good ground and sprang up and bare fruit 100-fold. And when he had said these things, he cried, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And his disciples asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And he said, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they might not see, and hearing they might not understand. Now the parable is this: the seed is the word of God. Those by the wayside are they that hear. Then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts, lest they should believe and be saved. They on the rock are they which, when they hear, receive the word with joy, and these have no root, which for a while believe, and in time of temptation fall away. And that which fell among thorns are they which, when they have heard, go forth and are choked with cares and riches and pleasures of this life, and bring no fruit to perfection. But that on the good ground are they which, in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it, and bring forth fruit with patience. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but setteth it on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seemeth to have. Then came to him his mother and his brethren, and could not come at him for the press. And it was told him by certain which said, "Thy mother and thy brethren stand without, desiring to see thee." And he answered and said unto them, "My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." May God bless the reading and the further preaching of his own word, and that it would be for his glory and also for the good of all his people. Thou sendest gladness far and near. And this is exactly what the Lord Jesus Christ was doing in his ministry. The first verse of chapter 8 summarizes a little bit of the ministry of the Lord Jesus. It came to pass afterward that he went throughout every city and village preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom of God. And the 12 were with him. And in this portion, we will be seeing, first of all, in these first three verses, this ministry of the Lord Jesus. There's this little focus upon the message that Jesus is bringing and even the method that he uses. We even see the means. He has helpers. He has people with him that even provide for his ministry. And then the center portion of our sermon will be, in our second point, the parable of the soils. So the first few verses, there's an introduction of what Jesus goes forth. And what does it mean to preach and show the glad tidings of the kingdom? And we have this parable as an example of what Jesus is preaching. And then our third point will be looking at a focused, like a general lesson from this parable, the heart that truly hears. The center of all that we have read is, of course, this parable. And like I mentioned, it is a center parable to help us understand, not so much to understand every parable, but to understand why of every parable, the reason why Jesus preached in parables. And so today we will only focus in a general way on the parable, and then this focused way of what it's teaching about the heart that truly hears. And there may be another sermon or two focusing upon the soils and the variety of hearts that are there, and which is really what causes there to be the different reactions and responses to the receiving of the seed. But first of all, let us look then at our introduction, where we see this summary of the ministry of Christ. First, notice his message. He preached, and what did he preach? Showing the glad tidings of the kingdom. The good news, the glad tidings gives the idea not just of goodness, but of gladness, of joy. And we can understand what this joy is about. There are elements about this joy, of course, in what Jesus was doing, because he was healing people who were sick. He was delivering people who were demon-possessed. And of course, there's elements of joy to this, to the results of people healed. Remember that leprous man who was now cleansed. Not too long ago, we saw the widow who was mourning her son who was about to be buried. And she is one woman who is very happy at this very moment in the life of Jesus. She has her son well and alive. But I believe the glad tidings is not really connected primarily to these healings and to these joys of seeing people even back to life. But the last chapter that we were in, and the last account where we see that woman pouring forth her love at the feet of Christ, weeping and washing his feet, drying it with her hair, and anointing him with precious ointment. The joy is because of what that was connected. Remember that Jesus said, "Thy sins are forgiven." That's the glad tidings of the kingdom, that sins are being washed away, that the Lord Jesus is the one who has power to cleanse sin, because his death on the cross is so certain. There are elements of eternity attached to us, to that. Jesus is the Lamb who was slain from eternity past, because it was so certain that nothing would deter him from being slain in time and there being a sin offering. All of those sacrifices of old were pointing to the reality that there would be a final sacrifice. And based on that, Jesus is able to say with his authority, "Thy sins are forgiven." And that's the gladness. That's the joy. What would be joyful about having your leprosy cleansed, but still your sin in your heart? And what would be joyful about receiving life again, but still with the fear of a possible death in hell after that? You know, those miracles were for people to look to Jesus and then have this joy. He is the Messiah that we're waiting for. He is the promised prophet that we are to listen to, like unto Moses. And he is the one who will cleanse us and who will deliver us. And that is the joy. And he went forth proclaiming this message. And here, just a little note, beloved, let us always remember this. That if Jesus had this message, let us, the church of Jesus Christ, never, ever exchange this message for another. The message of the Lord Jesus Christ, the truth of Christ and Him crucified, the simplicity of the gospel. Let us never lose this message. The church throughout the ages has been tempted, and often it has capitulated to changing the message to make it more palatable. But as we will see from this very parable, it isn't that the seed, having changed in different ways, brought different responses. When we get to that soil that receives the seed and it produces abundantly, it is the seed. And Jesus says the seed is the word. The seed is what falls on stony ground. The seed falls on beaten ground. The seed falls on every ground. And ultimately, it has to do with what the hearer does and how the hearer hears. And so let us never be tempted to change the message. Jesus never did, and let us never do it. But then we also see the method. The method is the preaching, the proclamation, the teaching, the heralding of God's word. Now, the Lord Jesus, we find him at times speaking to a smaller group, and at times we find him proclaiming. This would have been a time where he's proclaiming. If you get to the very end of verse 8, it says, "And when he had said these things, he cried." So it sounds like there's a group that's big enough where a proclamation kind of way of speaking was necessary. And he said, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." And all of this has the intonation of what preaching is, when you are really pleading with the people to understand and to be interested in what he has said. And we will look at the parable and see exactly these details. So the primary method of Christ was preaching. He also did teaching. And he did one-on-one teaching as well, and modeling with his life. And we could speak of method in terms of preaching, that he preached using parables. That was one of his methods as well. And we'll talk about parables soon in our second point. But then I talk about his means regarding these disciples. As soon as it says that he went about preaching and showing the glad tidings of the kingdom, in verse 2 and 3 it says, well, verse 1 does say, and the 12 are with him, but then verse 2 and 3 adds also women that were with him, certain women which had been healed of evil spirits and infirmities. Mary, called Magdalene, she's very well known. She's the first one who saw Christ resurrected, out of whom went seven devils. And then also Joanna is named, the wife of Cusa, Herod's steward, and Susanna, and many others which ministered unto him of their substance. And here, this little word substance is what I mean by his means. The Lord Jesus was proclaiming the message of the kingdom, being supported by other people, being supported by his disciples. And the support here is connected to these very ladies. The Lord Jesus Christ clearly was doing something that was unheard of in those days. It was revolutionary. A rabbi never spent time teaching ladies, but the Lord Jesus did. And he was with us, of course, not doing something that was different. He was doing something that in essence should have been done, because they also are made in the image of God and also should learn who Christ is. And here we find them serving in ministry and sustaining the Lord Jesus financially for his ministry. Matthew Henry says this: they were such, for the most part, as had been Christ's patients, and were the monuments of his power and mercy. They had been healed by him of evil spirits and infirmities, and those who have been healed by him ought to study what they shall render to him. We are bound in interest to attend him. We are bound in gratitude to serve him and his gospel, who hath saved us and saved us by it. And what we have then here is a little parable. We found one woman in the last chapter who showed her love for the Lord Jesus, for what he had done to her. She showed her love in weeping, in washing the feet of Christ, and anointing him with that precious oil. But that's not the only way to show your love for Jesus. You can also show your love for Jesus in those days by supporting his ministry. And we find these ladies, Mary Magdalene and Joanna and Susanna, that are named, along with others that are not named, following the Lord and helping with whatever ways possible. And clearly here, financial. There are many ways that you and I can show our love for the Lord Jesus Christ. And certainly Luke is adding this because it was a reality, it was a truth, that there were these ladies helping and serving the Lord Jesus, but also teaching the church that we should see men and women as those who ought to be serving and ought to be active in ways to make the gospel go forth and people hear who the Lord Jesus Christ is. He has given the ministry of leadership to his apostles, but there are those who can come and help alongside other men and other women. Not every man was a leader. All these 12 were the leaders, the apostles, but then there were other men and these ladies who were helping and serving and making it whereby the ministry could happen. Jesus himself needed financial support from other people. And so just these words about the ministry of Jesus. But then secondly, we look now at this parable. And we will call it the parable of the soils because it really was the parable of the soils. It's often called the parable of the sower because basically the main character is this sower who goes from area to area, and there are these different soils that receive the seed. But it's really more about the soils than about the sower. And the reason we have the title, The Parable About Your Heart, is because as Jesus reveals, these different soils refer to different hearts. And where you and I should see that this parable is very applicable to you, and I pray that you see this. And this is the parable that by all means you and I should give all ears to, because it's all about hearing and all about heart. And how do these two things go together? The word will only arrive in your heart if you hear it. But there are those who hear it and it doesn't go to the heart. There are those who hear it and it does. Now these are the two key words to this parable. Hearing, which in a sense everyone does, and the heart, which reveals what you do with what you hear. And so it's a parable, beloved, that you don't want to sleep through. You don't want to allow anything to come between you and the hearing of this parable. This is the parable that teaches what happens if you hear a sermon like this one or any other sermon and you leave this room and you can't remember it. This parable reveals that Satan has been at work in your heart and has not allowed the word to go from the hearing to the heart. And literally, beloved, if somebody literally sleeps through a sermon, it doesn't even enter the heart. It is literally Satan causing you, as it were, to just go to sleep so that it's easier to take this food of the word, this seed of the word, away so that you go home and you have no idea what the sermon was about. You see how applicable this parable is to your heart and mind. This is a parable about your heart. It will show who you are. Either your heart is part and parcel with this beaten ground, or this stony soil, or this weedy soil, or the good ground. This is basically describing everyone who hears the word. You are in one category or another. Of course, it's not describing someone who hasn't heard the word yet, and yet that person may have the capacity of a stony heart or a weedy heart or a beaten path, but they first have to receive the seed. And this is where this parable even applies to that, of how we need to go forth and send missionaries, and we need to sow the seed of the gospel. We need to send sermons throughout America, throughout other countries. We need to sow the seed because people have to hear. We're not responsible for how people will respond, but we are responsible to sow. But God is here revealing who the people are, who the hearts are. Now, to speak about parables in general, a parable is an analogy, but basically a long analogy. When you find in God's word very short analogies, we just call those analogies. Like to simply say that the seed is the word, that's an analogy. It's not a parable. But once you find this seed in a little story, in a little narrative, it becomes a long analogy. And we call that a parable. And right now, this is the longest parable in the Gospel of Luke. We have had what we've called shorter parables, and sometimes we don't even use the name parables when something is so short. Remember the short parable of the two builders and the two foundations. That we can call a parable or just an analogy. It's something very short. And this is the first parable that we find. And like I said, there's a central part to this parable, because the Lord Jesus is here explaining why he preaches in parables. And so it's very important, because it shows the condition of each and every one of us. This parable will reveal who you are. This parable will reveal your heart condition. It is a parable about heart conditions, and that it'll show which condition is yours. And then secondly, it explains why parables. And let me bring this, because it is something good to see in terms of an introduction. So his disciples ask him, why this parable? Explain to us what it means. And in verse 10, Jesus says, "Unto you it is given to know the mysteries of the kingdom of God, but to others in parables, that seeing they may not see, and hearing they may not understand." Parables can be a little confusing to some people. Some people attribute only one reason for them, but it's not the full answer. They'll say, "Jesus preached in parables to make things clear." That is only part of the answer. The rest of the answer is this: Jesus also preached in parables to make things obscure. And this is what's hard for us to understand. How can something be used of Christ to make it clear, and yet be used of Christ to make it obscure? And this is the key thing that goes back to you and me. It has all to do with what you hear. Put yourself now at that ministry of Christ. He's there talking about these seeds that are going throughout all these places and all these soils, and you're listening to the Lord Jesus, and you hear about seed on the beaten path. You hear about seed where there's rocks, and to you, that's very familiar. You see that happening. You're a sower, and you know exactly what that means, and to bring that to our very existence, it is exactly how we plant grass. None of us goes through the lawn digging a little hole and putting one seed of grass and another little hole and another seed of grass. The digging of a hole and a seed is usually for plants that are bigger. Like you might plant beans that way, you might plant corn that way, but every kind of grain, and you've noticed that at least in the old days, grain production was not all in a complete line. It was just the whole field growing wheat, for example, or barley, or oats. And our grass in our fields are not in straight, perfect little lines, because we don't dig a little line and go put in the seeds. We throw them. And when we do that, some of our seed falls on rocks. Some of it falls on the path. Some of it falls where there's some weeds and we're not really weeding that corner of the lawn yet. We know what this means too. We don't need to be in that ancient Israel time. But imagine you there listening to that parable and you're one of the hearers. And then you're wondering, what does that all mean? But the sermon's over. Jesus says, "He that hath ears to hear, let him hear." You get hungry and you say, "I'm just going to go home. I just heard about agriculture today, but that's fine. Tomorrow I'll go see what Jesus has to say." There were many people who did that. They just went on home. But there were those, his disciples, who asked him, saying, "What might this parable be?" And then Jesus revealed it to them. And so you see what's happening, beloved, how it really has to do with what you do with the message. You hear something obscure, you might say, "That's obscure," and you just go away. And you are exactly the one to whom it's preached in a parable so that it stays obscure. But there are those who say, "I need to understand what this means and what will happen to you." You will go to Jesus and you will ask, "Lord, explain to me this parable. I need to understand this parable. This sounds serious. It doesn't sound good for the seed on the beaten path. It doesn't sound good for the seed on a rocky soil. And does that have some connection with me? Help me understand it." And what did Jesus do? He revealed it unto them. He revealed the parable. And beloved, think of your privilege right now. You're not in a group where you're just hearing about the agriculture part and now it's time for lunch and we go. You're hearing a pastor who's here explaining exactly what Jesus explained to the disciples. But beloved, this is the reality of a heart that is hard. Even as this explanation goes forth, there may be a soul or more here who is saying, "I'm really not interested in what pastor has to say. I've heard about seeds and soil so much. This sermon probably isn't for me." You might be hearing this very sermon and not desiring to understand it. You're hearing a parable. You're hearing the explanation of the parable, and still your heart is cold and not desiring to know what Jesus means. And that's why it's a parable for you. But you see the challenge here for the heart. Are you satisfied with that? Are you willing to go home and not understand the sermon? Are you happy with the reality that there will be no fruit in your life? You see, God is using this to awaken and to break the heart that may be hard and desire something of the word. And maybe go home, little children, ask your parents, "Mom, what does it mean then for me? Is my heart stony or is my heart good? I want that production in my heart. What does that mean?" young people, go to your parents, go to your elders, go to whoever you need to go and ask about sermons. Try to understand them. You see, that's the heart that is hearing honestly the word. God is giving you a privilege every time the word goes forth. But the reality is that there's some, no matter how much explanation, no matter how much warning, no matter how much rebuke, no matter how much revelation of the reality of heaven and hell, they will still go home and say, that was interesting. Or, I didn't understand anything. It will have been one of those three hearts. You know, it's kind of shocking. These are four kinds of soils, four kinds of hearts, three of which do not respond to the gospel. It's a minority that responds. Now, this is something that for an evangelist, for a pastor, that weighs heavy in our hearts to think that of all people that we share the word, fewer will respond in general. There are moments of revival in history, and that's why we plead for those and we yearn for those. But this is my experience. It is what I feel. It is what I see. When we go on certain elements of evangelism, we knock on doors, we meet people. There are some who listen and who seem receptive, and they're at least polite to us as we try to share and offer the gospel of John usually. But there are those, and you may have experienced, where they literally close the door at our face. The moment I say, I'm here to bring a present, it's just for free, a book of the Bible, the Gospel of John, they close the door on our faces. And we walk away remembering this parable. We weren't even to start speaking anything. And we've hit the hard ground. And every now and then, it's someone who wants to hear and someone who wants to receive what we have to give. And it warms our hearts. It encourages us. And it reminds us this is why we're doing this. Because if we hadn't been doing it, this person wouldn't have received something of the word. It's a way of sowing the seed. The parable of the soils. Why parables? Because for some it is obscured. For others it is revealed. Beloved, if it's obscured for you in any way, you know, notice what the disciples do. It was obscure for them. Look at verse 9. And his disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And this is the good news. This is not a parable about your fate. If your heart is hard now, there's no hope for you. It'll be hard forever. If your heart is rocky now, well, that's your fate forever. This is not a parable teaching that. When you notice this, these disciples did not understand the parable. It was obscure to them. It seemed like just agricultural points. And they understood that reality. It was really common knowledge that the best seed would fall, would grow when it was a good soil. But they knew there was something deep about it. And look at verse 9. His disciples asked him, saying, what might this parable be? And beloved, so here, this is hope for every one of us, whoever we are. If every time you've heard the gospel, it still doesn't make sense to you, do not give up hope. Just ask about it. Try to understand it. Begin an intensive discipleship with someone. Open the word and ask, look, study the Bible with me. I need to understand this book because I see in it that there is truth and I see that there's a danger for my soul, but I do not understand it. I do not know if I am saved. If you're with any interest in your soul, don't leave someone alone until you understand. In prayer before the Lord, wrestle with Him. And go to a friend and wrestle with that friend. Ask for good books and read those good books. Don't stop reading the Bible until you understand these parables. And even as you're doing that, I give you one great big encouragement. You're doing that because the Lord is working in your heart. But it's sad that there are many who say, well, I don't understand it. One day maybe I will. then there's someone else working in your heart. And we'll talk a lot about this next time when we talk about each kind of soil. But I just want to bring this one reality, to bring fear to the very heart of hearts if you are this person. Verse 11 said, now the parable is this, the seed is the word of God. This is the word of God that you're receiving every Sunday morning and afternoon. Those by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. If you are someone who still do not understand the gospel, still does not embrace it, every sermon you have heard, if you have not yet repented and come to Christ, the devil has been at work in your life. You see, he's been plucking the seed every time you receive it. Is that okay for you? Are you all right with that? Will you allow to that keep happening? It's, again, not an element of fate. And you might say, but if that's my heart, that's what's happening, what can I do? And here's the great encouragement that I want to give you. Who is God? He is in the business of changing hearts. This is not a parable of your eternal heart condition. It is a parable to reveal your present heart condition. If your heart has been hard, if your heart has been full of rocks and you're scared to become a Christian because it's too hard and the persecution is too serious and you've already left the thought of becoming a Christian because you don't want the persecution, you don't want people teasing you, or if your heart is that one that thinks this world is more exciting right now and I prefer to live it out before I confess Jesus. If that's your heart right now, bring that heart to God. He is the heart changer. And I'll just give you a few proofs of this. There was one man with a very stony heart. He was a pagan. He was proud. He owned, literally, in terms of leadership, a whole entire empire, the king of Babylon, Nebuchadnezzar. In his folly and in his pride, he even destroyed the temple of Jehovah. But later, as he was being ministered to by a lowly man called Daniel, Daniel was there sowing the seed through his witness and through his life, along with his three friends. And we see the impact that is having in the life of Nebuchadnezzar. He sees that those three men who do not bow when the music plays, they are thrown in the fiery furnace and they come out alive. And that, of course, has an impact in the life of that man. But he still doesn't break. He still says, yes, your God is great among the gods, but he still doesn't bow to the God Jehovah. It was only later, after God severely dealt with him, and basically it seems for 7 years he was treated and he thought he was an animal, that he finally breaks and he looks to heaven. And there's even a portion of the Bible that's his own witness. And many of us do believe that he was broken. That heart that was by the wayside, as hard as ever, that plows would break if they would try to go through there to plow the land. The farmers would leave that ground alone. But God didn't leave Nebuchadnezzar alone. And I want to give one more example. And this example would most likely be the example of the weeds that covered and the pleasures of this world. Because it's someone who knew the truth. It's King Manasseh. You remember, he was the very son of Hezekiah. So he would have received the word in his life. Hezekiah was the king used of God for even a revival in Judah. But then Manasseh turned away and he worshipped Baal and started putting all over Judah again and in the high places, the Baals and the Ashtaroth. He even did child sacrifices. He was a very wicked king. The cares and the pleasures and the riches choked the word from his heart. But he too was plowed deeply by the Lord. He was sent to jail by a foreign king, and there he prayed a prayer. And he confessed his sins. And he repented. And he believed Jehovah and the promise of Messiah. And we too believe he was one whose heart once was evil, but it became good. And then I just want to give one last example, which is perhaps the best example of a very hard heart, stony and full of weeds. It had, it seems, all kinds of evil of those three kinds of bad heart. And that was the heart of Saul of Tarsus. He was the very one who would bring persecution to the poor believers. And you can imagine some of those believers, or some who had professed faith, they would be those who would think, should I say I'm a Christian or not because I'm about to die? He was the one bringing this kind of evil upon other believers. He had this kind of heart. He had received the seed as well. He heard about the Lord Jesus, but he had despised and denied and wanted to kill everyone who was part of the way of the Lord Jesus Christ, until the Lord broke his heart. You see, this is the encouraging thing about this parable. This is not a parable saying, this is your heart, forget it, there's no hope. No, this is a heart to say, listen, this is what you're doing. You're hearing the word and not responding. You're hearing the word, but you're too scared to be a Christian. You're hearing the word, but you love this world more than Jesus. You need to repent. You need to go to the one who prepares hearts and make it soft. Get rid of stones. Weed all those sins away and cares of the world. And then be this kind of heart. Verse 15, but that the good ground are they which in an honest and good heart, having heard the word, keep it and bring forth fruit with patience. And this leads us then to our third and last point. The heart that truly hears. I want to bring together this reality that Christ is here emphasizing the hearing, and a kind of hearing that comes to the very heart. Notice how it's all throughout this passage. In verse 8, as soon as he declares the parable about the soils, he says, he that hath ears to hear, let him hear. So the important thing is to hear. But now when you hear, there's something important to do even when you hear. Because the danger is if you hear but you don't keep it, Satan may pluck it. If you don't hear and it gives root, you're going to dry when there's temptation. If you don't hear it and really believe in it, there are things in this world that will be more attractive to you. You need to hear it. And you need to understand it, and you need to keep it, and you need to love it, and you need to believe in the Lord Jesus Christ. And notice how then this hearing is in everything. Verse 12, it says that those that receive the seed by the wayside are they that hear, then cometh the devil and taketh away the word out of their hearts. You see there the hearing and the heart. And then verse 13, they on the rock are they which when they hear, receive the word with joy. It seems like it goes a little bit to the heart, but then they have no root, which for a while they believe, but in time of temptation they fall away. It means that this believing is not really a true believing. It didn't stay in the heart. And then you notice how verse 15 spoke of the honest and good heart. Who are those? Well, they heard it and they keep it. And I want to end just with this. Look at verse 18. He says this. Well, let me start with verse 16. No man, when he hath lighted a candle, covereth it with a vessel, or putteth it under a bed, but sets it up on a candlestick, that they which enter in may see the light. Here again, this is a very short parable. It's more like an analogy. And he's saying something very logical. If you're going to light a candle, you make everyone see it. And then he says this, "For nothing is secret that shall not be made manifest, neither anything hid that shall not be known and come abroad. Take heed therefore how ye hear. For whosoever hath, to him shall be given, and whosoever hath not, from him shall be taken even that which he seems to have." This giving and this taking is all based on the hearing. You see, this last, not the last analogy, but an analogy, I'm still going to read to verse 21, that will be the end of the whole theme of hearing. But you see this one, this message, be careful how you hear. What does it mean to be given to you or to be taken away? See, there's some people who think they're believers. They're in the church. They're in the covenant family. This is the context there. They were the covenant people of God. They were Jews. They were hearing, but they were not receiving it. They were rejecting for one reason or another. So what they seemed to have would be taken away from them. But those who were hearing this message of Jesus and saying, "Jesus, then I understand what it means. I need everything you say, and I'll believe in you, and I will follow you, and I'll trust that there's forgiveness in you." Just like that lady, she believed it. She was forgiven. She was cleansed. And she received. She received forgiveness. She received Jesus' word saying, "Thy sins are forgiven thee." That is receiving a lot. Because she heard and she kept. But then still God wants to impress this upon our hearts. And so lastly, you notice there verse 19 through 21, there's this little narrative. And Luke puts all these together certainly to form this one message. As soon as there's that end of the parable about hearing and the importance of hearing rightly, there's this small little narrative, a parable about giving and taking away and lighting something and making it obvious to be seen, and then the importance about hearing, and then this little narrative, and I'll end with this. His mother and his brethren came to him in the midst of this big press of people listening to him, and they can't come close, but the message trickles down from that multitude to Jesus. "Excuse me, Jesus," someone would have said, your mother is back there, and your brethren, they want to see you. They desire to see thee." And look at verse 21. "And he answered and said unto them, My mother and my brethren are these which hear the word of God and do it." And this makes everything as clear as ever can be. What does this hearing in the right way mean? When it says, "Take heed therefore how you hear," well, what are you to take heed of? Well, you are to do what Jesus says, which means to obey. And it means, of course, to believe. And it means, of course, to love and to accept. Beloved, if you hear the Bible and there is anything in your heart saying, "I'm not so sure about that," then you are not doing it, because you're not embracing it. And you're in the category of those who are hearing but rejecting it. Inherent in being a true believer means to look at God's word and saying, "Yes, Lord, I will follow. I will obey whatever is commanded." When you hear the gospel, you don't hear the fullness of everything God's word has. It is little by little that you understand and learn other details, important doctrines. But as you do hear them, and as you learn them, you will only be a brother or a mother of Jesus if you hear and you do. But see, it's not that now by doing you've advanced to that position. It's not how you are saved, but it's showing that you are. It's revealing to you if you're a child of God. So this is the greatest God-given mark of the believer. that you hear the word and you do it. Isn't that the very message of the parable, the short analogy of the two foundations? If you hear Christ but you don't do what he says, you're building a house on the sand and your life will be demolished when the tides arise and the wind comes. But Jesus says, I'll show you who is he who hears what I say and does it. He builds his house on a rock. And when the wind comes, when the tides arise, the house will not fall down. Beloved, whose heart is yours? Is your heart the stony one? Is your heart the beaten path? Is your heart full of weeds and you're choked up by the cares of this world? Or is your heart the prepared, soft soil? How do you know? You've been hearing the gospel. Do you do it? Do you love it? Is Jesus, whom you seek to follow, like those women, like those men, whose life was now Jesus? Amen. Let us pray. Our gracious, glorious God Almighty, may each and every one of our hearts, Lord, be plowed by thy Spirit, by thy grace. Lord, we start by acknowledging not a single one of us, Lord, have this heart that is soft by our own making. We understand this, Lord, that thou art the one who gives us the disposition to hear. Thou art the one who breaks our hearts. Lord, thou art the one who through thy Spirit has quickened us and given us life that the seed would truly produce. But we do thank thee, Lord, for this parable that really gives us a great warning to reveal to us the present condition of our hearts. And we pray, Lord, that thou would use this thy word, that we would be like the disciples, that would not leave thee alone if we are not understanding this, if we are not sure who we are or where we are, what state of our soul, Lord, but that we would wrestle with Christ in prayer, that we would come before thee, Lord, and ask for thy help, that if there's any hardness in our hearts, that it would be softened by thy grace. All the rocks, Lord, we pray, plow them through. And all the weeds, we plead with thee, Lord, that there would be mortification by the power of thy Spirit, and that our hearts would be as those that produce even 100-fold. We ask all this in Jesus' name. Amen.